Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Job, chapter 24, verses 22 through 25. In this season, we are following the theme of In Search Of, because remember the original purpose of holidays, holy days, was that we would be more focused on our search for God, our search for answers to questions that we have. And matter of fact, that is a theme of both the Christmas production that the Sanctuary Choir is working on and the Children's Choir musical as well. You know, seeking out true meaning, seeking out answers for the questions that we have, seeking out who we can trust. Where is our security is the particular thing we're looking at today. Job was a guy who was secure until he wasn't. And these are his words from the book of Job. But God draws the mighty away with his power. He rises up, but no man is sure of life. He gives them security, and they rely on it. Yet his eyes are on their ways. They are exalted for a little while, then they are gone. They are brought low. They are taken out of the way like all others. They dry out like the heads of grain. Now, if it is not so, who will prove me a liar and make my speech worth nothing? Over 3,000 years ago, these words were said. So little has changed. We still want to know where our security is. Let's pray together for a moment. Lord, as we consider this universal quest that all human beings have, no matter who they may be, no matter where they might live in the world or what point in history they exist, every human being wants to know, am I safe? Am I secure? Will the whole world fall apart around me, or will things be all right? As we go in search of true security this morning, show us your face. Show us your trustworthiness. Show us who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I started the first grade in 1960. Yes, I am that old. The Cold War was going strong. The Cuban Missile Crisis was just around the corner, and yet what most people remember about the 1960s or think they know about the 1960s comes from the Andy Griffith Show or maybe Leave It to Beaver. And if you watched either of those shows, you would never know that the world that we lived in the early 1960s was anything but secure and fine, and Barney never needed any more than one bullet and never used the one he had. Beaver's biggest problems was on how to get the baseball out of the gutter on the neighbor's house. And yet that was not the world that I started the first grade in. It was a world where people were frightened and insecure, especially people who lived in a primary target area like I did in New York. One of my most crystal clear memories is of a movie they showed us when I was in the first grade. And it went like this.
Deedle-dum-dum, deedle-dum-dum, there was a turtle by the name of Bert. And Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He'd duck and cover. And cover.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You and you
and you
and you. Duck and cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover. This is an official civil defense film produced in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration and in consultation with the Safety Commission of the National Education Association. produced by Archer Productions, Incorporated. Yes, we must all get ready now, so we know how to save ourselves if the atomic bomb ever explodes near us. If you do not know just what to do, ask your teacher when this film is over. Discuss what you could do in different places if a bomb explodes. Older people will help us, as they always do, but there might not be any grown-ups around when the bomb explodes. Then, you're on your own.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover. Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
The actual film was 10 minutes long. And had all kinds of helpful advice if an atom bomb falls on your town. Cheerful and peppy tune, did you think? Very catchy. And easy to remember instructions, just duck and cover. And a promise of safety if you followed the film's instructions. But it was all a lie. It was all a lie. The Cuban Missile Crisis, which happened when I was in the third grade, was the closest we've ever come to nuclear war, according to the historians. And if a bomb had been dropped and you saw the flash and ducked and covered, you would be incinerated or you would die of the radioactive fallout that was to follow after. You were not safe. The leaders of the world were pursuing a policy of insanity called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. There were 70,000 atomic bombs in the American arsenal, 45,000 atomic bombs in the Russian arsenal, enough to wipe all life off the planet several times over if things ever got started. A time of certainty and security that never existed in spite of what Leave It to Beaver and the little town of Mayberry might say. Because you see, certainty and security never really exists in this world the way that we look for it. Certainty and security is something we deeply desire, but we can't find it in a fallen world. Got a little ringing going on, guys. Bring it down a bit. People look for security in many places. We put locks and burglar alarms on our houses. We put seat belts and airbags in our cars. We worry about the reliability of our jobs and what we will do if we can't pay our bills. We obsess over the adequacy of our retirement investments and accounts, especially as we grow older. Young adults these days, a lot of them are becoming more and more interested in socialism, in spite of it being a historically failed system every time it's tried. And I believe what is really attracting our millennial adults in America today, why three of the top current candidates for our next president are socialist at one level or another, is because of the promise of security. You vote for us, you let us put our system in place, and it'll be womb to tomb security and protection for you. That's the promise. But you have to watch out for some promises. Because you see, the Bible says that we live in an insecure world, a fallen world, a broken world. Prophet Jeremiah, speaking the words of the Lord to God's own people, the people of Israel, in Jeremiah 6, 12 and following, said, "Their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, because from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people only slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." This is a condemnation of the leadership of the nation. promising the people everything's safe, everything's secure, everything's going to be all right, when they know full well that that's not true. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 and following warns of weakness and uncertainty that is part and parcel of the human condition. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You youth, before the difficult days come, all the rest of you. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises at the sound of a bird, because you can't sleep at night, and all the daughters of music are brought low. When one rises and they are also afraid of the height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosened or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel is broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. You cannot count on the security of this world as if it cannot be shaken and will always be there. Jesus puts it plainly in Matthew 24. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Jesus was laying it out. He never sugarcoated how life would be. We sugarcoat it. We say all we have to do is pray and God will take it away. All we have to do is pray and God will give the increase. But it's not that simple. We're looking for our security in the wrong way. We look for security in our families, but families can be broken up by loss and strife. Just ask me and I'll tell you my story. We look for security in our societies, but civilizations rise and fall. We look for security in our economies, but the boom is always followed by the bust. And if that's where you have all of your hope for security, it will fail sooner or later. We look for security in our possessions, but material things can get lost or stolen or broken or destroyed. We look for security within ourselves, but that's probably the worst place to look for security. I hope that you have a healthy awareness of just how fragile you are, of just how fallen you are, of how you cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, that you are totally dependent for your next breath and your next heartbeat upon the grace of God. You can't depend on yourself ultimately for anything, much less security. Where then can we look for security? Where can we look for what we have such a craving for, what we have such a need for? Who or what has the power to give us what we want? Who has the knowledge to foresee all possibilities and all things and prepare for them? Who has the foresight? Who has the wisdom? Because you can have all the knowledge in the world. If you've got no wisdom, you've got nothing. Who has all those things? No nation has those things. No political party has those things. No human philosophy has those things. But we have a hint of where real security can be found. Strangely, it's found on that which we look to for security that's one of the worst places to look to for security. It's a thing that lives in our wallets. It's a dollar bill. You know, in 1960, when I was in the first grade, you could get a lot for a dollar. Now, not so much. But back then, as now, really ever since the 1850s, the hint is there on where our real security lies. It's not in what this represents, but graven on the coins and graven on the paper is "In God We Trust." Oh, if it were true. If we as a nation truly trusted in God, would things be a little bit different than they are right now? I think they would be. But it seems to me that we as a people, as well as we as individuals, might be drifting farther and farther away from trusting in God. We're wanting to trust in other things and other avenues and other options. And yet, there's the reminder. Every time you pull a quarter out of your pocket or a dollar bill or a $20 bill or a $100 bill, in God we trust. The world would be a better place if we were trusting God for our security. And that's where the Bible points us. Let me read three places from the Psalms and one from Proverbs. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my security." Psalm 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him I trust." Psalm 118, 8 and 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or senators or congressmen or presidents. Fill in the blank. It is better to trust in the Lord. And then from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." This is some of you's life verse, because remember when we did the life verse series? This one came up a lot. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Does this mean that God will shield and protect us from all the uncertainties of our lives? No, if you think that that's the case, then you are living in a bubble or in a fantasy land. That is not God's promise. He doesn't say, "You come to me and I will protect you. I will shield you from every negative thing and every negative consequence and all the bad things going on." That's not the promise. Although I do think that we are unaware of how much He does protect us from. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That God has shielded us from things that we weren't even aware we were being protected from. Amy Grant wrote a song years ago about angels watching over me. God only knows the times that He's protected me today. A reckless car ran out of gas before it ran my way. We probably will be astonished one day when in heaven we look back on our lives and we see all the places God was there. But what do we focus on? All the times we think He wasn't. Amen. "Oh, God, I've got this illness, and why did you let me have this illness? God, I've suffered this reversal in my life. Why did you let that happen to me? Where's my security, God? I don't feel safe. I don't feel stable." But that's not God's real focus, is it? Rather, the Lord is interested in our eternal security. God is a big picture God. And he knows that this life, however long it is, even if we were to live 100 years, as many more people are doing now than ever before, it's not even a breath, a vapor compared to eternity, compared to our true home. That's where God's focus is, and that's where he wants us to find our security, is in him and his provision to help us make it through this life, but then be with him forever in eternity. John 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples before the world takes hold of him and nails him to a cross and tries their best to eliminate him. That didn't work out the way his enemies planned. But that was what was in his immediate future. The next day, all that would begin. From the world's point of view, Jesus' security was about to go out the window. But he spoke to the fears of his disciples, and 2,000 years later, he's speaking to our fears and our concerns too. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. See, security is found in trusting the promises of the right person. And I love what Jesus says here. I go to prepare a place for you. Can you trust him in that? Can you believe him in that? Can you be assured in your heart that there's a place for you if you belong to him? That's the security that God is offering. In just, not even 2 weeks' time, Dana and I are headed off on the airplane to go to the Netherlands to be with our son and daughter-in-law and help them prepare their house for their new baby that's coming in January. And just the other day, we got a word about how it's coming with this new house, and there are no beds there. And so Dana communicates with our son and says, you know, we found this Airbnb just 5 minutes away, and we'd be glad to stay there, so where there's a bed. And our son rocketed back a response, no way, you're staying with us. Trust us for the bed. You trust God for the bed. That's where the security is that we're promised. That's what it's all about. As the writer of Hebrews reminds us, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. At the very end, right before his ascension into heaven, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I've got your back. I'm in your corner. I am with you. I am there. The psalmist writes in Psalm 20, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have fallen down, but we have risen and stand up straight. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Does the King answer when you call? Do you know and are you secure in his promises? That's what I would put before you this morning. Because every time we come to worship and we hear from the Lord, it's also a call to respond to what we hear and understand. Did you walk into this room today with anxiety chewing at you, gnawing at you, stress and worry because of the uncertainties of life? Stress and worry because of the holiday season upcoming, and how will everything happen, and will I get all the presents, and will I find everything that needs to be found? The absolute opposite of what a holiday, holy day is supposed to be about. You need to seek the Lord and be secure in Him. Maybe you need to come up during our prayer time and just put that before Him today. Maybe the Lord's put another burden on your heart. I don't know. Trina, come on up. Maybe you're worried and concerned about our world today. One of the things that started me off with that illustration of when I was in the first grade was news this week that the next to the last nuclear arms treaty has been abandoned, and the only remaining one will expire in 2 years if it's not renegotiated. The whole crazy buildup that could lead to nuclear war could start all over again if the leaders of the world will not do something about it. Well, I don't trust the leaders of the world, but I trust the Lord my God. And in Him, I find my security. We're going to have a time of prayer before we end the service. You can pray right where you are, or you can join me down front. But let's go to the Lord together right now. What are you in search of this holiday season? Are you in search of a new church home? Are you in search of a new direction that the Lord would have you pursue? Do you have any questions you need to ask or someone you need to pray with? I'd like to invite you to join me in the response room just right over to the side here. If you'd like to talk about any of those things or anything else, we would love to be praying with you about what God's direction for you would be. And I really encourage you to let this holiday season truly be a holy day season and you seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his presence while he is near. Right now, though, we're going to stand up to have a closing prayer. Invite you to come back this evening at 6 in the chapel if you'd like to wrap up the Lord's Day in another time of worship. It's a great time. Come on up, Doug. But for right now, let's prepare to leave this place, but not God's presence, and to seek his face in the days ahead. Look forward to seeing some of you over there, if you would come and visit me. Tim, can you come help me out? Excellent. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house, Lord. I thank you for these men and women that defended our freedom when we're able to be here to worship you, Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the strength and security that we have in you, Lord. Just go with us and keep us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.